Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. A little bit of a malfunction there to start. We absolutely love it. The beauty of live. YouTube, Facebook, everywhere, wherever you guys are with us right now. We are live. We want to see your comments rolling in as we go. We're here to recap the biggest game of the season, talk some big news, give you guys some best bets, and preview everything that promises to be round 17 in the NRL season. Before we get to that, Winnie, I can see you wearing a beautiful jersey. Well, I could see you were wearing one. You're a beautiful man, mate. G'day. How are you going?
You've got to stop starting our shows with these lies, mate, but I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I was looking a bit flustered because what did I do? Put the wrong thumbnail straight off the bat. So just not, of course, not an Origin 2 preview because we're not going to be hindsight heroes like some people often can be after the fact. We are going to talk about Origin, but I want to talk about it, you know, in terms of what we learned, what surprised us. In terms of the betting results, so none of my three same gamers did get up. You did have a winning tip for us, Val Holmes, anytime. In fact, he scored first. He scored a double. The Fox did miss out, but you made profit on your anytimers. And we also had Nanai anytime tipped by Nicole in our sponsored segment there. As for me, look, I know better than anybody with a tip. It's a great tip if it wins, and it's a useless tip if it doesn't. But what about my same gamer on toppy three legs? I want to start right there because we had Queensland to win the second half. They won the second half, you know, easily by nearly 20 points. Second half to be higher scoring. It was far higher scoring. But either team 1-8 at halftime, it's 10-0 Queensland. I mean, that's pretty rough when you look at all the ball, all the opportunities New South Wales had. And even if you want to tell me New South Wales weren't good enough to score first half, well, I will tell you, Queensland had 10 points. And one was a very dodgy Val Holmes put down. The other was a Taulagi try off a forward pass from Fifita. And these don't affect the result because the rightful team got the victory. But boy, do they affect the result of my same gamer there that loses by one leg by 2 points with all of those conditions transpiring to just not let that one get up.
And that's the thing, mate. Like, it might not have affected the result, fair enough, but there's a lot of people that, you know, these calls do matter, whether it's in the first minute or the 80th minute, especially in the modern game where so many people are betting to add that extra layer of entertainment to the game there. You mentioned the Valentine Holmes one. I got some stats through from Random Stats Guy before I actually got to the pub for this one, where he'd scored 7 tries in his last 5 at Suncorp, but 4 of those 5 were the first try scorers. So I was immediately like, wow, I've tipped a beauty here. And actually, I went and backed it myself at the pub as well there. I absolutely loved that one. Josh Adokar, he had previously scored in every single Origin game 2 he'd ever played in. And Blues wingers had scored 5 tries in the last 5 Origin game 2s, but he just never really got an opportunity because the Blues just didn't really get going. They didn't gel. They didn't offer too much. And I think that's where I'll start. I was probably a little bit nervous just because I was having flashbacks to the 2020 Maroons victory, where we were such big underdogs without Cameron Munster in that game 3. Oh, sorry, last year in that game 3 of that Munster, and no one expected us to win, and we somehow did it. And I was deep down, I didn't say this in the preview pod, but I was, when I was having these things, these feelings that they're going to tap into this underdog status. That could be what gets them over the line. In the end, individually, some were great. There were some really great performances there. I think I point to Payne Haas most notably. But as a team, they just look disjointed. The attack never really flowed. The defense never really, you know, never really looked solid. Did you see it that way as well?
Oh, yeah. New South Wales were off the mark. Now, as I say, everyone, you know, dissects the game. And when I talk about hindsight heroes, I hear all these people giving 100 reasons why the result happened. Queensland 32, New South Wales 6. And I've heard comments like New South Wales lost this game when they picked the teams, or New South Wales just don't get it, cannot match Queensland. And yet, why didn't I hear any pundits boldly saying Blues are zero chance in game 2? Or how come nobody was out there saying Queensland are winning this game 13 plus or 20 plus, like, including us? We didn't say it. So everyone acts like it was so obvious what happened, but yet nobody really boldly called that result. So the truth of the matter is the result did, you know, was somewhat unexpected. And for me, the biggest surprise was not necessarily the Blues. I thought it was about the Maroons and how immense they were defensively in a game where they were under a lot of pressure from their opponent and field position, and I would say referee calls as well, but we can get into that. That meant that the Maroons had to do a mountain of defensive work and turn away their opponent time and time again, and then capitalized on the back of those goal line stands. And this really could have been potentially a far closer game. In the end, Maroons' defense turns it into not only a blowout, but an existential crisis for our Blues fans.
I think that's the best way to put it. And I am going to use hindsight here. I wouldn't have said this before the game, but certainly after. I think it's clear that the design or the makeup of that team doesn't quite complement each other. And I think that's why we saw some really good individual performances, but not so much a great team performance. So I think it's time for the Blues to probably hit the restart button. I think that probably has to start with a new coach, just because Freddie has his favourites and ones that he feels he's in debt to. Some might point to a James Tedesco, etc. But they did the same in 2018, let's not forget. And they were the baby Blues, they were calling them. And I believe they won the next two series in a row. So it's not like the Blues haven't pressed reset and had success before. But I do think that's what they have to do, because the Maroons have now won three of the last four series. Am I correct if I say, Winnie, we were the underdog in all four?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were the underdog going into every series since, 2018, which goes back to the point that I said that Freddie has won three Origin series, but he's been expected to win every single one according to market expectations.
Not only market expectations, but I would say just general fan tipping. You look at the Blues side, it has been stronger on paper for a long time there. And, we even got a win over the Blues with, respectfully, Edric Lee on the wing, Corey Allen at fullback. These are guys that probably aren't rep level across their careers. I've just got to say, at the pub, in the want, Winnie, I had a lot of confidence listening to Billy Slater talk. At first, I was just a little bit nervous that the Blues are such big underdogs here. They could spring a big upset on us. But the way Billy Slater talks, he's so calm. He's so measured. And the Blues might not know who their coach is next year, but I know who ours should be for the next however long he wants. So I'm really comfortable if we re-sign him long term. And I'm guessing you'd feel the exact same.
Yes, and Billy Slater can have that job as long as he wants. And I want to say something that makes Blues fans feel a bit better, because we've talked historically about the last 4, 5, 6 years. Freddie has coached how many? I guess he's coached the last six series
since
now.
2018, 18, 19, 20,
21. Yes, that you're absolutely right. And I want to say something that maybe will make our Blues, our followers south of the border feel better. The way you're feeling right now, I know you feel kind of helpless, you feel down. I felt the exact same way in 2021 when you guys towed us up, put 50 on us in Townsville, and then strangled us and beat us about 26-0 at Suncorp in game two. Obviously things were so different back then, but there was Luttrell, Turbo, Nathan Cleary, these guys all coming into their absolute primes. And the only positive I could come up with as a Queensland fan just 2 years ago was, thank God we stole the 2020 series, or we would be on the back of four straight Origin defeats and staring down the barrel of many more, because it was really hard as a Queensland fan to envision when Queensland could win again, when they could actually be able to beat the talent that New South Wales was enjoying. And here we are 2 years later, and Queensland off the back of back-to-back victories. And Billy Slater said it himself when asked, did you hear what he said about Brad Fittler?
He said, just remember, he knows Origin.
But yeah, he said, in my opinion, Brad Fittler's the best coach I've ever coached against, and New South Wales should keep him on for the next 10 years. No, I'm only joking. He didn't quite say that. He obviously spoke respectfully about Brad Fittler. I mean, it'd be a bit evil to try and endorse him when he knows he has his measure. But one thing, truthfully, Billy Slater said was, they said, Billy, you're taken to this like a duck to water. You've won two series in five games. He said, remember, Brad Fittler was in the exact same situation as me. As you just said, Brad Fittler came in and won his first two series, and people started throwing around the dynasty word. And no doubt some will start to throw it around again about Queensland, because they've got a young core. It changes from year to year. Form of players, new players emerging. Availability of players is huge. Queensland are enjoying the fruits of an outstanding coach and an outstanding group, and obviously, clearly, very deserving. And again, while we talk coaches, Freddie will no longer coach in this arena from next year. New South Wales are going to have to change it up. Do you have any suggestions, or where would you kind of look with that? Because I don't think there's an obvious answer. And throw it into the comments too, guys, especially if you are a Blues fan. Who would you want leading your team next time around?
And that's the tough thing. I mean, Billy Slater, he didn't quite go to the extent you did. I was kind of smiling at the camera like, wow, I missed a pretty big quote there in my coverage last night, so you got me good there. But he said he's done a great job with that team to bring them together, to create a culture. He understands Origin. Don't forget that. And that's the thing for the Blues' next coach. You can't just go and sign someone like Michael Maguire, who's the Kiwis coach. It needs to be someone who actually has a connection and a love for that state. A lot of people naturally toss up Andrew Johns. Don't really love it. Don't know if he would do it either because he is great friends with Brad Fittler. And then the next best there would be, I've seen people say Matty Johns. Don't love that either. He spent this whole, you know, series giving Queensland raps. So don't know if that works. Then I've heard Ricky Stewart tossed up with Michael Maguire taking over at the Raiders. I thought Craig Bellamy for a while there, Winnie. But then I think you don't really need to be a great tactical coach at Origin. You need to be a great motivator in the Wayne Bennett kind of mold. So no one is jumping out at me as the next Blues coach, to be perfectly honest. If I had to say one, Paul McGregor, maybe. He's available. He's played for the Blues a fair bit, but I don't love it, that's for sure.
And he's on the staff already. He was on the staff this year, as was Andrew Johns. You know what? I actually would give Matty Johns a go at left field, as that is. I think as much of a larrikin he is, he is a really astute footy mind. And boy, you know, do we get like Australia's version of the Gallagher brothers, that Matty and Matty and Andrew teaming up together. Andrew brings the passion. Matty brings the nous. This is a Queenslander talking. I don't think a current NRL head coach works as an Origin coach. I think it's been tried in the past. I think it has to be a standalone role. Otherwise, someone like Craig Fitzgibbon would be ideal because he is an Origin legend and also knows what it takes. Throw Tuvi out there, another one who, you know, could bring in some passion and an accomplished coach. But comments are coming through. Brian Fletcher, perhaps. So someone else did comment Tuvi, and I saw Matty as well. Matty Johns in there. So it is tough because you think, who are the recent Blues Origin legends that the current players look up to? And it's like, well, what are you going to do? Get Paul Gallen in? Are you going to get Mitchell Pearce? You're going to get James Maloney? Like, I'm sorry, it's Anthony Minicello. Like it's kind of slim picking. It's kind of slim pickings because Queensland dominated for so long. You go back any earlier, their previous legends were Laurie Daly, Brad Fittler. Well, we've tried that now. Look, just a couple other points on Origin. Because pre-series, I did say I wouldn't pick Tom, but I'm not going to try and say, like, look what a great call that was. He is a higher injury risk. It's obviously a tragedy to see him go down. Don't think it affects the outcome of the game, but you never know. He's a player that, you know, New South Wales struggled so much in attack. Then they had to reshuffle the back line. Could have made a difference. But like bigger picture, that spells an issue for Manly season, which is the biggest reason I didn't think Trbojevic should be there. He'd missed too many games for Manly. I just thought it wasn't fair on his club to play Origin and risk getting an injury there. Sadly, he did. And Clarkie, I did also say before the game, that with the amount of HIAs and injuries these days, I think you had to have a plan to cover your back line, and I would have had Burton on the bench at 14.
It would have been a masterstroke if they did. Absolutely, it would have been. Even a Nicho Hynes with more than 10 minutes at centre would have done a better job than Cook, and that's no disrespect to Cook because he did score their only try, but it was clear the Maroons were targeting his side also. A lot of people don't know this about Matty Johns. He actually worked with Cooper Cronk at the Melbourne Storm for like 8 years. And so naturally, you know, you see what Cronk was able to achieve on the field. But I just think if they go the Johns brothers and they fail and it doesn't work, it is horrible for their, mainly Andrew's, you know, status viewed as one of the greatest Blues ever. It could really, really hurt his standings. I think we could talk Origin all day.
Benny Elias, Mick Ennis. Yeah, a couple more points. So look, everyone is criticizing. I know we could talk all day, but I'll throw a couple more out there. Everyone's criticizing Cook. Playing center. Like, okay, when you go into a game, you have to have a plan to cover every single position. And so when Cook went to center 4 minutes into the game, that had to have been the plan. It's not like Freddie went, oh shit, what do I do, right? A lot of people are criticizing that. What were the alternatives? So for me, I said pre-game, if New South Wales loses an outside back, it's going to be Cam Murray or Hudson Young. Curiously, Andrew Johns, who's one of the assistant coaches, was commentating for Channel 9, and he said, I think Isaiah Yeo will go to center. And I just found that curious because he's in the sanctum. He should have known the plan. And even he was surprised seemingly to see Cook go out there. Now, I think the obvious choice was Cam Murray. It's been spoken about today that he's Australian schoolboy center and has slotted in centers in the past. The thing about Cam Murray is clearly he was not 100%. Hence, he didn't get on the field until there was just over half an hour to go, which is an issue in itself, whether he should have been there and how happy Souths could have been about that, because clearly the groin issue was hampering him. And I think Freddie couldn't risk putting Cam Murray in the centres where you need mobility and speed and trying to see if he could last there for 80 minutes. Whoever you put in the centres, you were going to lose their impact of them playing their regular position. So New South Wales would have lost what Cam could have brought to the middle of the field. Instead, they lost what Cookie could have brought to the middle of the field. I will say Robson held his own. And of course, that threw New South Wales out of whack. New South Wales fans will also complain about the two things I already brought up. First try is very questionable as a Queenslander. If they call that no try for the Holmes put down, I can live with it. I thought he fumbled it. But with the new rulings, you know that they're more lax. And I can understand how a forward pass gets missed at full speed, but it was a bad miss by the linesman because it was a bad call. However, when I look at the game, I look at Stephen Crichton making a length of the field break, an amazing tackle by DCE, maybe the fastest player in the game at this point. But so often teams score on the back of that. Queensland regroups, you know, and backs up DCE and holds New South Wales out. Just a couple of minutes later, DCE makes a break. And while Teddy does make the covering tackle, when Queensland shifts, Queensland scores. So that's like the difference right there. One team made a break, couldn't capitalize on good ball and momentum. The other could. And that was the difference between the two teams. And that said a lot about the matchup, really. One team, Queensland, when presented opportunities, took them. And New South Wales had multiple chances knocking on Queensland's door and didn't even look very likely, did they?
No, they didn't. I do wonder if if Crichton had a raced away for that try, how it would have affected the game. But just quietly, I actually switched my MVP tip at the pub to DCE. So I was quietly pretty confident up until about the 70th minute mark that he'd probably done enough. But Lindsay Collins, very well deserved there. The only other person I would have considered in that right centre position, would have been Liam Martin. But I still think Cameron Murray was absolutely my front runner. Do you have a 3-2-1 from the game before we move on? One last thing on Origin.
I'm happy with, like, you've said your top performers. I think, you know, Val Holmes is up there. Lindsay Collins, happy with him. You know, he was a player when we were doing our early predictions. I said all the way this year, watching him play at the Roosters, he had to be in the Queensland team. Some others, you know, experts didn't even have him in their 17. And DCE, a vintage performance as well. Now, you know what? I'm going to audible, mate. I just feel like we've gone nearly 18 minutes and I should give people our early best bets. But I do want to circle back and get a market recap from Tristan. I have to get your thoughts on the news that broke today, which is the Titans head coach. And we're going to do a minute on Ben Hunt, the latest there too. But I don't want to keep people waiting any longer. So if you don't mind, let me bring up the best bets right now. Get your accounts ready. If you want to jump on, guys, I am off a losing week. But this week I'm going the Dolphins +8, which is the alt line at $1.80 on Top Sport, and they play the Eels at Kawana. And I think fresh off a bye really helps out that Dolphins forward pack, where I think they can match it with the Eels. I know that this is the first game for the Dolphins in the Sunshine Coast region. Bennett is a master at circling the calendar. And I do believe that the Dolphins in other weeks, I've been less confident because the depth has been stretched. In a week where they're off a bye, and when they've got less players backing up from Origin than what the Eels do, I have that confidence. I felt like that was a generous line. And then moving to Sunday, sorry, it's against your boys, Clarkie, but I'm going Broncos halftime, full-time at $1.82, also on Top Sport, hosting the Titans at Suncorp. And just note, it's 1 cent higher if you take halftime normal time, HTNT, but I want that HTFT, which means you can win if the Broncos lead at halftime and then win in Golden Point. I don't expect it to be that close. I think Brisbane, it's actually their last game at Suncorp in a while because they're vacating for the Women's Soccer World Cup. But with five winning Origin players backing up and Payne Haas as well, and a lot of gun players for the Broncos that weren't even in the Origin arena, like your Stags, Farnworths, your Adam Reynolds, Hetherington Rickies, these guys I think are going to be in line for big games as well. And the Titans we're going to get to a bit of turmoil this week and have players backing up too. And I know it's a big game for your boys, but I'm just not sure if you're going to be able to hang with the table toppers in that one. And then finally, I've got the Cowboys plus 9.5, $1.83 on Betr. And they are playing to South Sydney. And I think the Cows will get a lot out of that Golden Point victory last week where they were a best bet. They've got 5 players returning from Origin as well. I think they'll back up, being a Sunday and being so important. Plus, Taumalolo was back. Dearden, Drinky are in great form. And for the Bunnies, look, Cookie probably backs up. Walker is back, but with no Latrell. And I think doubts over Cam Murray, given that, yes, how he was underutilized in Origin. I actually think this can be a really good game. So to get, you know, get 9.5 points, the 9's not that much, but getting over 8 points for the Cows, I think this could be a pivotal point in their season, and they can go close to an upset, which could actually really swing the perception on their season. What do you make of my 3 best bets this week?
All make perfect sense. I love the Dolphins one the most. I think there's some real value there with their first ever game at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. As you said, Bennett is the master of sort of building up these milestone events like we've seen for the Dolphins this year. So I think there's a lot of value there at plus 8. So we'll circle back and we'll go through the big news stories from today. And then
what we'll actually do is we'll go Market Watch with Tristan, because he is going to talk a little bit of Origin betting and then into round 17. Then we will hit those headlines before we go game by game. So here's Tristan.
G'day everyone, Tristan Mellahan here from Top Sport. And Queensland have retained the Origin series for another year. And wasn't it a great spectacle up there at Suncorp for all Queensland fans? I thought the scoreline probably was inflated a little bit with obviously those couple of tries in the first half, which looked a little bit contentious, and even DCE's try-saving tackle. That was insane, and if New South Wales had a score there, I think maybe the game turns into a completely different situation. But obviously they showed their class late, they ran away with it, and there was actually a strong push from our end for New South Wales plus to start, so we were left with Queensland minus, and it gave us a decent result in the match. On the other side, there was a lot of money back and forth for the overs and unders, and the overs was on the wrong side of the scoreline for us. And obviously the number fell very close to the line. It was 38 on a 37.5 line. So the traders did a really good job getting that as close as what they got it to. With the try-scoring matchups, that's obviously always very, very, active on Origin. A lot of same game multis. A lot of the Queensland players that scored were obviously the influential and expected players, but then on the same token, not many New South Welshmen were able to get over the line. So that sort of did balance things out a little bit. We go to game 3 now, where it's a fascinating market to price. Obviously, Queensland's going for the whitewash. New South Wales go home. How will that home support be at home, being 2-0 down in the series? And obviously, a lot of question marks over some selections going into game 2. So Queensland's open up $1.80. They've been backed into $1.77. New South Wales out to $2.05. And the line's gone 1.5 out to 2. Probably expect the money to keep going Queensland's way, obviously pending if there's any injuries over the next couple of weeks. We move into one of the hardest rounds to price of the season. There's so much uncertainty over players backing up. Obviously, there's a Ben Hunt situation there, which is the first game of the round between the Dragons and the Warriors. Will he play? Won't he play? How invested will he be? There's so many question marks there. That's seen the line go from 4.5 to 6.5 since we opened it. The Panthers obviously got a lot of players that need to back up. That line's remained solid at 10.5, and the Storm game's gone 9.5 out to 12.5. Obviously on the back of no Turbo, and then will DCE back up? Obviously in a game that's going to be very hard for them to win. The Bronx Titans game as well. Obviously there's a lot of players in that boat. So keep an eye on team list. It's going to be a tricky week to predict. And good luck if you're having a bet. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you very much for Tristan, the CEO of TopSport, there with exclusive market insight. We've got 2 news stories we'll touch on, and then we'll get into our round 17 preview. The first one, Winnie, is regarding the Titans coach. So as of today, the Titans have parted ways with Justin Holbrook effective immediately and announced Des Hasler as their 2024 coach on a 3-year deal. Your initial reaction to this when you saw it, was it positive, negative?
It was a surprise, but I have said multiple times this year, I think it falls on the coach when the team is failing so miserably. And in terms of, when I say failing, obviously capitulating in games and blowing too many big leads. And obviously the final straw was it back-to-back-to-back. You lose a game against the Knights where you led going into halftime and it was a 50-50 game in the betting markets. You lose by 20. And the following week, you lose to the Titans and you lose to the Bulldogs. Another game that was seen as 50-50 and a game that you lead late and can't hold on to. And then the following week, you're at home and you haven't played at home in like 7 weeks and you play South Sydney, a tough opponent, but you're beating them like 24 to you know, 16, whatever it was, but then you give up 30 straight points. And I think at that point, the board obviously felt we need to find a replacement. Holbrook's not going to be the long-term answer. And during that period of time, the Titans have actually then gone on to beat West by what, like 20 points, but it was too late clearly because they'd found their replacement. And then I think one of two things, once they knew it was Dez, they didn't want that news to get out because it makes it very awkward and a bit unfair on a, you know, your current coach once the news is out that they found their replacement. But two, to justify the decision, the last thing you want to do is pick Dez for 2024 and then Holbrook leads a resurgence and beats Brisbane this weekend in their big game and then leads them to the eight and then makes the board look, you know, ridiculous. So they almost had to remove that possibility. That's my view, but I'm much more interested in how you saw this one.
Yeah, I'm really passionate Titans fan, so I do have a Titans podcast, so I had to record a bit of an emergency podcast today.
And give that one a plug as well, mate, because people might be interested in more in-depth thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if anyone is interested, it's the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. It's the official supporter base of the Titans since 2008, and I run it with Blaze from BKR Sports, who's the guy you always see on the drums and probably hear on TV at all the Titans games. So we broke it down in depth, but to be brief on this show, because our one went for about 45 minutes, I think short term, this really does hurt us. I think we were a chance for the top eight this year. I think that that dwindles now without a noted head coach there for the rest of this year. But I do think long term, it's the right decision. And I think when situations like this happen, sometimes people want to pick Team Justin or Team Dez. Whereas I'm very level headed. I'm disappointed for Justin personally, but professionally, I do understand the decision. And I think we can, you know, celebrate the past and be happy that when Justin Holbrook took over, we were a wooden spoon side. Now we're on the verge of the eight. We've got some nice juniors coming through and then still be excited for the Dez Hasler at the same time. So, yeah, I view it with a really, I guess, level head. But at first, yeah, emotions were pretty high when this just seemingly came out of the blue, absolutely nowhere, which is strange when you think like how Anthony Griffin's future played out in the media. Crazy. So, yeah, I think we did a good job at hiding it, but that's good from a media perspective, not a personal perspective for Justin Holbrook. Really tough news for him and disappointed for him on a personal note. Ben Hunt's future. We are still in the race for Ben Hunt. At this stage, he has made it clear that he wants to return to Queensland. And I do believe the Dragons have said to him, you cannot sign with another Sydney club because you've told us the reason we're presumably going to release you is to go home. So it must be to a Queensland. Now, it's for family purposes as well, Winnie. And his family do live in Southeast Queensland, which now means it's a three-horse race officially. It's the Titans, Dolphins, and Broncos. If you had to rank them in order, 1 to 3, who do you think's most likely could and least likely to sign him at this stage?
Well, you better hope it's not a horse that's in the race, and you better hope it's a two-team race. But my prediction is going to be this, a little bit left field, but I raised this on Sunday, and we did like 10 minutes on Ben Hunt. So super quick, just my evolved thoughts, because he has said it's going to be Queensland. What makes sense to me, with the quirk of the NRL financial year where good players can change teams and it doesn't take a lot of salary cap, is Ben Hunt back to Brisbane to play nine for the remainder of this year and the best chance of his career to win a premiership since 2015. And then 50-50 between the Finns and the Titans. If you're asking me to rank them, I really think it'll be his last mega deal. And when I say mega deal, I think near to $1 million a season. And whichever club would offer him more, like, would you offer him 5 years at this stage in his career? Maybe you would if that was going to get you over the line, even though you know he might only be gone for like 2 or 3 more and you're going to eat the contract later. It's just so rare that a player of this caliber is on the market and a team like the Titans or the Finns, with respect, can get them. I feel like the Titans might have their noses in front, maybe a team with a slightly more promising roster. So that's how I see it. Brisbane rest of the year, if he can get the release, and then maybe the Titans, but the Finns a big chance. What do you think? And I'll bring up comments of what other people predict as well.
Yeah, I mean, going at it from sort of mail and stuff that I'm hearing from people and connections around the Titans, they're pretty confident we'll sign him on a 2-year deal, which I think is the right length, just because he is 33 years old now. I think like Kieran Foran's 32 and people are already starting to say at our club, oh, it's getting towards the end, but then we're going to go and sign someone older than him, you know, so... but yeah, honestly, if we can get Ben Hunt, I think that'd be a good way to start our new future with Dez Hasler. Because when Dez Hasler has always pretty much had, whether he's at the Bulldogs or whether he's at the Manly Seagulls, is experienced halves, Josh Reynolds and Trent Hodkinson for the Doggies. And then for the Seagulls, it was Kieran Foran himself and DCE. And then those teams also had an exciting fullback out the back, Turbo, Ben Barbers, etc. Of course, we have AJ Brimson and Jaden Campbell. So I think it gives us a really good base. I rank it, and maybe people think this is biased, but I genuinely am going off what I'm hearing. We are the favorites. Dolphins are the second favorites, and Broncos the least favorite at this stage because he does want to play halfback as opposed to
hooker. And they'd have the least cap available of the three. And maybe I'm crazy saying who's going to offer him 5 versus 4 years, but maybe it's who can offer him 4 versus 3 or 3 versus 2. You wonder if the Dez, securing Dez long-term, would play any part in Ben Hunt's decision. But I don't know if there's any relationship there or just what he views the ability and acumen of a coach and resume of a coach like Dez versus Holbrook, who hasn't maybe quite shown enough in his 3 or 4 year tenure. So look, plenty that we've speculated there on their guys, but obviously these are the biggest stories in the game that we all love. And we did already serve you up our best bets. Got a mixed matchup to come as well. But we what, 7 games of footy, we better dive into, hey Clarky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will just say one more thing. Just because the Titans are quiet on this one doesn't mean we're out of the race. Broncos might be louder in the media, but hey, we just moved our coach and without any media knowing about it all, we work in silence and we're killers. And you better watch out, Broncos. No, I'm only messing. Friday, 8 p.m., it's the Dragons versus Warriors at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. We'll get you that line in 1 second. For the Dragons, Jack Bird and Jack DeBellin are in. Jaden Sullivan moves to 5'8". And for the Warriors, Dylan Walker is in, Mitch Barnett out, Berry in, and Leotawa out of the centers there. The line is set at -6.5 in the Warriors' favor. And Winnie, I'll just draw your attention to Jeremy Kerwin before, who said he got the Warriors at +1.5 a few days ago. I'm tipping Warriors in this one. Are you going the same way?
Yeah, I do think they'll win. So outstanding line by JK there. In fact, I want to give credit to, I can't remember the username, but there was one or two users or followers on Sunday night on our recap show saying that they were backing Warriors -3.5. So this is just a few days ago. And by then, the Ben Hunt wanting out news had broken because we were breaking it down in depth. So that's probably when Ryan, who's commenting there, got $1.67 head-to-head on the Warriors. So great bets you guys are sitting on. We don't even know if Ben Hunt's going to play for two reasons. I mean, he said he will, even though he's asked for the release because he doesn't want to let the team down. He's obviously named. But just the fact that it is 2 days after Origin, although Ben Hunt, I can't recall his minutes off the top of my head. That's not a great deal of minutes, right? So, yeah, I would lean towards Hunt plays. DeBellin back and Bird in are big wins as well, or big ins. And the Dragons are off a win. When you couple a win against the depleted Souths with a bye, that has elevated the Red V off of the bottom of the ladder where they were languishing. Then for the Warriors, they're not too disrupted, but Walker back from injury and joining the bench as a utility, and also New Zealand being off a bye gives them a good opportunity in this game after a highly impressive win where they smashed my best bet out of the park and you witnessed it firsthand. It was down in the capital, Clarky, where they spoiled my best bet and Croker's milestone night. And New Zealand this year have shown they're a different team that can produce performances like that on the road. So there's no reason to say they can't again on Friday night, tomorrow night that game is. I've got to get it right this time. Yeah,
Women's Origin
tonight. Sorry, tonight is Thursday night. We have Women's Origin after this. Friday night, we have a standalone game. I've got that right, haven't I?
8 p.m.
Standalone, which is this one.
Yes.
So that's actually so rare that like the Warriors are on prime time. So that's the case for New Zealand, which is why that they deservedly have got to be favorites. We preview the games on a Wednesday night. We can only give our, assess it as it stands live, which can be a bit harder because we don't get to jump on some of these juicy lines, even though we might, have a good inkling that something's going to move. And just on a side note, guys, you've seen the good, bad, and the ugly of us being live, where you see we can make mistakes in real time. We can misspeak. We can have technical difficulties. We can have it all. But I'd love people's feedback, because the last 3 years I haven't done the show live. It's been pre-recorded with the goal of being able to enhance the production and, iron out any mistakes. But there's pros and cons to being live as well. So I don't know how people have enjoyed this season. Hopefully you don't mind us being truly live and you've appreciated our ability to, interact and engage better and be, even more up to date or as physically possible as you can be with the market. And in this case, it is 6.5. And I want to also acknowledge I've struggled to get a gauge on these Warriors. I've had had a best bet against them last time they played, and they played so well. So while I do think they're favorites here, I just think that the Dragons are pretty much full strength, and I am going to assume Hunt backs up. And at this point, with the line now all the way through the key number of 6, I would actually lean to the Dragons. That was nearly the way I would play it, because I think they're tough to beat at home, and they could definitely compete with New Zealand in this one.
Well, I was looking that way as well. I really liked the plus 6.5, and the stats do back that up. But I'm going to have to go Warriors here, just based on recent form between the two sides and the fact that Ben Hunt doesn't really want to be there. He doesn't gain anything by coming and trying his absolute heart out and putting a 10 of 10 effort anymore, because simply he won't be there long-term at the club. So that is worrying. However, it is Jack DeBellin's 200th NRL game. And you guys know what I like. I love tipping milestone games for these players and seeing them win in their milestones. The problem is, the last time I did that, it was against the Warriors, where I liked the Warriors, and it was Croker's 300th in Canberra. I went to the game, so I can't do it again. But ultimately, the Warriors have only won 1 from 11 of their games in Wollongong. It's one of the worst records of any team at that ground. And the Dragons have also won their last 3 in a row over the Warriors. So the stats do suggest that an upset is on the cards here. But I'm going to go the way of the Warriors here. I think they can get the job done on the back of a Sean Johnson effort, because I've tipped him for the Dally M also.
And just to address some comments, multiple comments saying they like live more. So we appreciate that. Jeremy Cohen says, very cold and wet in Auckland. Dragons will get spanked. Well, I'm sorry to hear it's cold and wet in Auckland and that you live there, Jeremy. But this game's at Wynn Stadium. So that's actually the home team. Our graphic shows the favourite on the left, not necessarily the home team, if that's what's throwing you off there. So this line would be a little bit bigger if New Zealand was at home. And in fact, Ryan says, after the line movement, I'd lean Dragons. So he sees it similarly to you and I.
Yeah, interesting. And yeah, that's a good point. Usually I always do the home team on the left also, but I've gone favourites on the left for this one. But don't forget, for this one, guys, we will be having this one a little bit more juicy, because we will have our better same game multi for this Friday night game. The sign-up link is in our description if you want to go ahead and prepare now whilst we are live. But before jumping on any bookie, think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. That information is also in this show description if you are listening later as a podcast. We have a Super Saturday and a Super Sunday, really. But Super Saturday kicks off 3 p.m. Sunshine Coast Stadium. The line is set at -6.5 in the Eels' favor. For the Dolphins, Felice Carfusi and Jeremy Marshall-King are back. Valens Tafare is in the centers with Branko Lee out. Braden McGrady, playing really good in Queensland Cup. He's named to debut. Robert Jennings drops out, one of the greatest try scorers of all time. And Josh Kerr, he comes straight into the side, having come across from the Dragons. For the Eels, not much to report. Mitchell Moses and Junior Barlow at this stage are named. Now, we've got a best bet on this one. We got +8 at $1.80. Pretty good line, and I'm with you on this one. I like the Dolphins, but maybe a chance to tell the viewers a little bit more why you like them.
Well, because their number one fan's going to be in attendance, you know they're going to put up their best performance. And I feel like that's probably worth a converted try, just knowing that, Winnie's going to be there. So I will be there to cheer my boys on in this one, in my backyard. And the Finns off a bye, as I said, not only off a bye, but off their worst defeat of the year, conceding 60 points. I think that's an opportunity. That's where you have a good hard look at yourself, and you do usually work pretty hard in the break and come back prepared for a good effort. And Finn Diesel is a big in. While, okay, we've got Moses and Barlow most likely expected to play. Sean Lane could as well. He's trying to return from injury. And the Eels were highly impressive. They didn't get a bye last round, but they had a big win against Manly, which blew away my best bet there. And it was their captain, King Gutho, that led the way, but also a strong return from RCG. It is worth mentioning. So, look, the Eels are a formidable side right now. It does feel like they're on a bit of a roll right now. You had, Dejan Arzi has played really well in his couple of games filling in for Brown. But I just feel like that loss is not going to go unnoticed. You can't just have a player of that caliber ripped out of your side mid-season and have no ill effects. And I go back to it being a good spot for the Dolphins because, as I said at the top, the depth is not quite on par with, your typical top 8 NRL squads. And that's to be expected in their inaugural season in the top flight. And they've been tested with injuries and suspensions, but it's not looking too bad right at the moment. you know, Gilbert out for the season, it hurts a lot. But when you get Findeasel back and Marshall King and, you know, Kerr joins the bench, you kind of know a guy like him will play his best footy under Bennett. He was another one that was in that Maroons side, you know, struggled to play first grade, but in that Maroons side that won the series in 2020. And I mentioned first game in this region, the Sunshine Coast, the ability to circle the calendar. It is worth mentioning when you talk about big Dolphins games that the Dolphins do play Brisbane next week. So others may say it's a look ahead spot, but I do think if you want to compete with Brisbane in a week, you've got to start by putting up a good performance against last year's grand finalists here. And being fresh, I think that the Dolphins can do that and go close, like have a chance to win this game. But certainly I like the plus 8 points, which I'm taking at $1.80 because it's plus $6.50, $1.90 everywhere. But getting that extra key number where you don't lose if you lose by eight was worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm just doing the, you know, some quick maths in my head. You being in attendance, being stiff for the cliff, that's plus six. We've got plus eight, you know, a big sexy little bar fridge like Valens Tefade that's just short and strong in nature. That's worth six as well. So all of a sudden, we're sitting on a
should
pretty
be favorites.
Ticket. Yeah, should be favorites by miles. But I actually can see the Dolphins springing upset here in all honesty. They currently sit 10th with 7 wins. But all the way up to 5th on this ladder only has 8 wins. And, of course, for and against comes into play there. But I think this is a game where Bennett can really sit the troops down and say, hey, we were embarrassed in our last game. Look at the ladder. Look at the context of our season. Look at what we've got next week. Like, you need to come out and play here. It's our first ever game at Sunshine Coast Stadium in front of these fans. Go out. And, I don't need to say it, but Bennett's that sort of coach that he can motivate very, very well. Whereas the Eels, they're on a 4-game win streak here. And you know what I'm like, Winnie? Once teams starting that 4 or 5 win streak that aren't quite the elite teams, the Panthers, the Storms, etc., I start to think, when does the complacency slip in? You remember the Raiders one. I tipped a few upsets against them. Eventually it came. I just didn't pick the right game. I think this could be the game for the Eels. Wayne Bennett is actually 13 out of 16 against the Eels across his career. So he's a very, very great record against them. The only concern I have, as you can hear my daughter knocking on my door again, the beauties of being live. Sorry, guys. It's Tom Gilbert. What's he worth to this side? Because they didn't look very good without him in their first game. It's something they'll have to adjust to. He's not there for the full season, but it is a factor we're going to have to talk about at least for the next few games. But I'm with you all the way there. Stiff for the cliff, fins up, upset, inbound. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. We've got Panthers v Knights at Bluebet Stadium in Penrith. The line for this one is set at minus 10.5 in the Panthers' favour. Moses Leota is back, so Matt Eisenhuth drops out. Liam Martin and Scott Sorensen for the new back row pairing. Zach Hoskins moved to 18th man. I thought he was playing more than good enough footy to stay in that side somewhere. All other Panthers origin reps have been named. Daniel Saifidi and Greg Mars, you return for the Knights. And Frizzell is named to back up. Now, Winnie, I look at a line like that, minus 10.5, double digit. But I'm actually really confident Panthers will cover that for the reason I watched them last year do the same thing. I believe it was to the Knights after losing Origin. So do you think history repeats itself here, or you think Knights can shape up for this one?
Well, there's absolutely a scenario where that happens. I mean, one aspect, Newcastle are actually significantly better than they were a year ago. Now, their position on the ladder won't tell you that, but when you look at all the close games that I have been, you know, reminiscing about and that I've been a bit disappointed in this year, you realize that the Knights are a much more competitive outfit this season. So that's one. And you know, one of those many competitive games that the Knights let slip was the match against Penrith, which went to Golden Point. And of course, Penrith's most recent match also was Golden Point, a less happy outcome up in Townsville. The thing about the Origin stars who are all coming in, you know, of a loss, and also with in a lot of their cases, not with their position secured for game three, because I think there could be quite a lot of, you know, state of flux with who's in and out, with it being a dead rubber, but also off the back-to-back origin losses. You had Leota in there as well. So look, if these players play, you know they're going to play furious and with a point to prove. However, I think it's also worth also flagging that what happened last time Penrith played after Origin? They backed up all their stars and their best player got a serious injury. And NRL physio said that the likelihood was increased when you had to play multiple games on a short backup. So I do think what we saw after Origin 1 was by and large across the board, nearly every available player backed up. I don't know if that will necessarily repeat this round. because I think some clubs could take it out of the player's hands for the for the better longevity of that player's season. And that's the risk if you take Penrith right now, whereas the only player in that boat for the Knights is Frizzell, as you mentioned. Marzu and Daniel Saifidi will be big inclusions for the Novocastrians. And the Knights have been a bit of a line-covering machine. They've covered the vast majority of lines this year. Of course, they failed to cover or even win the game a week ago against the Roosters when I was on them for a best bet. And the biggest issue, as I discussed in the recap, was just being so wasteful with opportunities. So now look at this game. And when you are looking at any game that's Penrith at home, the first thing is they're so hard to beat and they're so hard to score against. And even if they're a bit off their game on the day, they'll make you work so hard for your points. And I don't know if I've got the confidence that the Knights can come in here and score enough points to, you know, to make an upset. So I'm definitely not predicting anything that bold. But even to cover the game, can the Knights score enough points? I'm not sure. However, if you like Newcastle, I would say play the 10.5. As Ryan says, I don't mind the Knights here. I would say play that now because I think from here until Saturday, there's only really the likelihood that news can come through that a Panther or two or three could be sitting out and that line would drop. However, I go back to that point that you threw to me with, is that these Penrith rep players coming out forceful after Wednesday could easily lead their team to a big win.
And that's the thing with this game. I think there truly is two scenarios here. If we're looking at this just objectively, what we know right now, all Penrith reps are going to play them. You have to tip them. They beat Newcastle early this year in Newcastle. And Ivan Cleary admitted post-game, that's one of the worst performances we've ever played as a club. And so, you know, you bring them back to Bluebet Stadium, you give them a bit more form, and you have to think that although Nathan Cleary's not there, they still are a big chance to get the job done here. And I just think that, yeah, with five of their players from the Blues really stinging and hurting, that does read pretty big danger signs for the Knights, who I do struggle to get a read on. There's games this year where the Knights have played well above standard and stuffed my tip in some instances. But there's just games where they've been so far off the pace, most notably the Eels game. It just wasn't funny. It was, what is going on here? How did this side go to Golden Point with Penrith a few weeks ago? But ultimately, Knights have only won one of their last 13 recently against the Panthers. And they've actually not beaten them since 2018. So over half a decade since they beat them last. And the Knights are only one out of six for away games this year. So they are struggling on the road. But yeah, I just think you've raised such a great point there. Do the Panthers think, crap, the last time we played players after Origin, we lost Cleary. We're still going to be in the top four at the end of this year. Let's not risk our boys. Let's give some of our New South Wales Cup, who, remind you, are playing really well. Let's give them a chance. In which case, jumping on Knights 10.5 right now, you would be cheering by the time kickoff rolls. And yeah, final point, it only really goes in the Panthers' favour from here. That Knights line will not go plus any higher, in my opinion. There's nothing that could make it go.
Yeah, like, let's say every player is confirmed backing up and it's a beautiful, you know, Saturday. What's this, like a twilight Saturday game? You know, yeah, could it get to like 12.5? It could. Like, but it's not going to go dramatically higher from where it is. Whereas to back up your point there and to emphasise what I've said, it's the luxury of being a big favourite is the way that they think about it is it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. It doesn't have to be all in, they're all playing or they're all not. Isaiah, you've pulled up a bit sore. Okay, we still believe we're going to win the game without you. Liam Martin, kind of same case. Or Stephen Crichton. So it's case by case and one or two or three could be sat out because they still feel we've got enough to win with. Because, of course, Penrith aren't thinking, how do we win this game against Newcastle in round 17. They're thinking, how do we win three competitions in a row? They're going to make the decision that they believe best suits that.
Exactly right. They are definitely looking ahead after winning back-to-back premierships. Super Saturday closes out 7:30 p.m. at Amy Park. It's the Storm hosting the Manly Seagulls. The line for this one is set at -12.5. I believe that's the biggest line so far for all this round. Mm-hmm. Justin Olam returns, so Seve drops out. Welch is back at prop. Nelson Asafa Solomona moves to back row, and their Origin reps have been named. For the Seagulls, quite obviously, Tom Trbojevic unavailable. DCE is named at this point, and Ben Condon is on the bench with Samuel Fa'anu ruled out. Last time these two teams played, I think we were both on the upset, weren't we, at Brookie? We both went them for the upset, yep. But this time around, I think it's going to be a little bit different. You see it that way as well?
Yeah, this is like one of the great rivalries in the game, and unfortunately it's spoiled this week, really, with that tragic loss of Turbo that we touched on in the Origin recap. And that doesn't just stop, you know, it's not just that you're losing your best player for this game, but it's that realization that that Seagull squad has to face, that most likely they've lost their most important player, the heart and soul of their team for the season. And this is on the back of Jake Trbojevic not being there. And I talked about real lack of leadership for Manly was a big issue last week. And so their key leader is DCE. So they better hope that he's going to back up. But I don't love Manly's chances in any case when you've got Welsh and Olam returning and then, you know, again, Munster, Grant, Coates, should they play, would be clearly big additions to the Melbourne side who are at home. So look, on paper, it's like Manly's still got a bit about them. And when I look at Melbourne on paper, I don't feel like they're as strong as past years. We've talked about how many talented players have gone out the door in the last year or two, but the players for Manly aren't playing up to their ability when they play against strong opposition. And so maybe it comes down to not being able to hang in there when the pressure's on without, you know, your leaders and you guys like Jake Trbojevic that leads that forward pack. Whereas the Storm, you look at it on paper, it's not like an outstanding squad compared to what we've seen the last 15 years. But I think you've got to really recognize players like Josh King, not household names, but he's having a hell of a year. You know, Warbrick, not many people would have known him. You said he wasn't on your top 10 rookies list, but he is now off a 4-try haul. So there are some players emerging to build around that, you know, superstar core at 6, 7, and 9 that the Storm has. When I talk about Manly on paper, I'm looking at a side all the talent, Paseka, Sipley, Hamoli, Kepi, Aloyer, these are meter eaters, but can they dial in defensively in the key moments when they have to, you know, defend an error when they're under siege? Or are they just going to be the kind of guys that bowl over weaker opponents and get their best stats, you know, when the opponent's beaten like they did when they put 60 on Redcliffe or the Dolphins, I should say? That's what I'm unsure about. Well, that's where I've got my doubts about Manly. It's just such a big line and there's just enough talent still remaining, those guys I just mentioned, that kept me off Melbourne as well.
I actually like Storm 13 plus just for Manly's mentality. I think having lost Tom Trbojevic, which will actually subconsciously really affect the playing group, because stats show they only win 33% of the games without him. There's nothing to really show what's going to change that this year. And he is expected to miss the rest of this year. So I think subconsciously the players would have to know that it's going to be really tough to make finals from here. So I'm happy to go Storm. I'm happy to go 13 plus as well. They have won their last 5 in a row at Amy Park. The Manly Seagulls have only won 2 of their last 6 away games. They've never won at Amy Park without a Trbojevic brother. I mentioned that Tom Trbojevic record, which really stinks. And I actually do have a try scorer tip in this one as well, Winnie. I like Justin Olam. He's got 10 tries in his last 9. He returned, so seemingly fresh. And he got hammered the last time he played the Seagulls. Big shot got put on him. So I think it could be personal for Justin Olam. And he's a man you don't want it to be personal against under any circumstances at all. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the odds are for that, but stats suggest that he's a good chance to get over in that one. Sunday, 2 p.m., we've got a Super Sunday. It's the Broncos hosting the Titans at Suncorp Stadium. The line is set at -9.5 in the Broncos' favour, which I have to admit, I thought that'd be a little bit bigger on the back of the news today. Capewell is out for them, so Brendan Piacura moves to back row. All their origin reps are named for the Titans. A big return. Kieran Foran's back. Jaden Campbell bench. All origin reps named also. And I'm nervous about this one, Winnie, and I think I should be, shouldn't I?
Yeah, and I had the same inkling that the line seemed a bit light, but I'm going to talk about how I think the coaching change could affect, you know, the performance of the Titans in this one. Not often we get a Broncos game, on a Sunday at Suncorp, but that often brings all the fans out and the families. And as I mentioned, last game at Suncorp for a little while, you've got, I said 5 Origin winners. It might just be 4 series winners for the Broncos and then plus Haas, who are all named to play. And the Titans have got, you know, your 3 victorious Maroons forwards. But as I said, it's a wild week to turf out your coach when this is like your biggest game of the year remaining. This is the one you always want to win. And unlike earlier this year when the Dragons, you know, relieved Anthony Griffin of his duties, I'm not so confident in a positive response by the playing group. You'd have a better read than me, Clarkie, but I don't think that Holbrook was on the nose or that, you know, had lost the playing group. I think it's more a case of the board and you know, some strange events, because was it you who posted that Mal Meninga's, you know, really confused and wasn't consulted on the decision? So I think this was a more of a decision based around logistics of when they could secure Dez, and then not wanting to make sure that decision didn't look incorrect, rather than what's best for the team right now. And you know, making a run at the eight is obviously not as important. You said yourself in your Titans dedicated podcast that you are less optimistic about the rest of the season based on the news. So that's where I'm not so certain we're going to get the Titans' best performance here. They're both off a bye, Brisbane and the Gold Coast, both off victories. But Brisbane, I actually like the fact Brisbane's comes in off a narrow victory over the Knights, because I think they got that experience of being able to pull out a tight game, but also a reminder that anyone in the competition can get you on their day. The Titans already had a big opportunity to do that to Brisbane and to upset Brisbane, and had a double-digit lead, and it was yet another case of a game that the Titans couldn't hold on to a lead, which we know that tale all too well. You know, that was just a few weeks ago where I was on the Titans for a best bet. Looked great when they're up double digits, but they completely fell apart. You mentioned Foran's back, and I don't see that as a positive, not a big positive, in my opinion either, because you're taking Jaden Campbell off the field there for the Titans. So I know that Brimo makes the Gold Coast a much stronger team, and obviously he's back and he was just 18th man for Queensland, so no doubt there. But as I said when I shared the best bets, when I look at the Broncos team and I see the likes of Corey Oates and Selwyn Cobbo and Staggs and Farnworth, Mam, Reynolds, Ricky, Hetherington, not all necessarily Queenslanders, they're not all Queenslanders, but I just mean they're all really gun players who took no part in Origin but are all fresh off their first bye of the year. It's almost like a bonus if you get a good game out of Walsh, Carrigan, Haas, Flegler. And that's the way I feel. So that's why I'm pretty confident, you know, in playing Brisbane as a best bet here. And I did go halftime, full-time, $1.82 on Toppy.
I think that what would have been a positive for us was being up at halftime in that game against the Broncos, who were first at the time. But then the amount of times we've been up following that and gone on to lose, you can't really view it as a positive. So I think our big positive is the fact we've had three buys. They've only had one. Make of that what you will. I don't think it's too much. As per the new layout of our show, I won't give an official tip in this one. I'll give you a confidence rating. Naturally, it has to be 4 out of 10. You guys know I would tip Titans if not, but you know, to be completely realistic here, it's 4 out of 10. It can't even be 5 out of 10. Don't get me wrong, I'm really excited the opportunity we have, but you just can't tip against the Broncos with the form they're in this year and how awesome they've looked. Realistically, the coach being sacked could be a positive. But the data shows us teams usually only win about 30% of the games, maybe even lower, I think it was, the week or the following game after their coach gets sacked. Can't remember the exact figure. It's not pretty viewing regardless. Broncos are 4 out of 4 of us in recent games. Titans have only won 2 out of 7 in away games this year. So, look, I'm expecting disappointment, but I'm quietly optimistic and hopeful we can beat our big brother, because it would mean a lot for our club with what we're currently going through, I suppose.
And Sunday, Cutie says Winnie's finally starting to believe. Don't forget, I was the one saying in round one, is Brisbane the best team in Queensland, and backing them against Penrith early in the year, and I'm sure back in Brisbane in one or two early games. I was on Brisbane, but then they got too popular for me. I'm a contrarian, so then I jumped off and unfortunately suffered the brunt of Brisbane's excellence this year with some best bets. But back on them here, so don't let me down, Broncos. Even though it is against your beloved Titans, Clarkey, it's a tough one. It's a tough task right at this point of the season.
Oh, and that's it. I mean, and the aim of the show is to make money, right? Not give me false
hope. Yeah, we've got to bet what we think will happen, not necessarily what we want to happen.
Exactly right. Next game we've got Sunday. It's 4 p.m. It's the Rabbitohs v. Cowboys at Accor Stadium. The line for this one is set at -7.5. For the Bunnies. That was off Top Sport, for those that are wondering why the one we had was different for the best bet. Tom Burgess and Davey Mowali are back. Jed Cartwright comes in. Jacob Host drops out. For the Cowboys, all Origin reps are named. I'm not sure how to pronounce his surname, actually. I think it's Finiafuki or Finiafaki is the new back row for them. He's going to start, and Helan Lukey is out with that facial fracture. Sorry. Now, you've got the Cowboys in this one. I'm going to say early on, I'm a gangster on this one. I think the Bunnies by a big margin, but go ahead and tell us why you like the Cowboys.
Yeah, just to be, and I'm not going to do any better at the pronunciation. I try my best there. But the young, you know, starting second row, it may not necessarily start because, of course, the five Cowboys reps were all named in the reserves. So you would imagine, though, because Peyton has said they're all going to play, that in all likelihood, someone like Jeremiah Nane is actually going to take that spot. And so that when you do look at these teams on paper, the Cowboys side is going to very much underwhelm you. Just remind yourself there's five really star players, who four of them are coming off a victory, and then Robson really held his own in that arena, are all going to bolster this Cowboys side on top of the fact that Tamalolo will have his first start in a few months after making a successful return from injury. So that'll, you know, more than counters the loss of Lukey, which is a significant loss. I think I said quite a few weeks ago when the Cowboys had a narrow victory in a home game against Newcastle where they absolutely could have lost but got their nose in front at the end. And I said that could turn their season around. And a week later, they made a trip to Sydney to play a good side. It was Cronulla, and they got thumped. And in some ways, I see that as a positive because here's another chance. You got that win in a game you easily could have lost. You were down, what were the Cowboys down, like 20 to 12 at halftime? I mean, they're down 8 or 10 points to Penrith. They scored that late try, leveled the scores, as we know, survived, you know, field goal attempts and ultimately win it with a golden point try, which does irk me. We talked all about that in the recap when my man Dan Lever tipped Cowboys by one at $71. But nevertheless, they don't care how they won. They know that that has given them a massive opportunity to swing their season. And with all the players that are back on deck and with it being a Sunday game, I am quite confident the Cowboys can put their best foot forward. So as you said, the line is 7.5 everywhere, but 9.5 on Betr. It was $1.83. And I don't want to go against South. So I think if you're going to press me right now, I think I already said this in our mid-season preview, that they're my premier's prediction. But this is a tough week with no Latrell. And I would lean towards Cam Murray won't play. And the way I feel about this is if Cam Murray does play, I won't feel as good about the bet, but I'll be comfortable at 8.5. And if Cam Murray is out, I think that the line gets, you know, closer to 6. I'm well aware that Cody Walker's back and that this South side's still got some weapons and are quite sharp in attack. But the biggest criticism we've had of the Cowboys is the inability to find points when they've needed to earlier this year. And I believe they have turned a corner. We know they've got exciting, you know, weapons, outside backs and edge forwards that can finish tries. But the key for me is you know, Dearden and Drinkwater playing their best footy right now, which I think keeps the Cowboys well and truly in this game and gives us a great Sunday afternoon clash.
The back row depth that the Cowboys have at the moment in Lukey, Luciano Leilua, who else? Jeremiah Nanai, and I believe it's Fini Fuiaki, was the name I butchered before. They've got some crazy depth there, but I'm going to go against you here, but I'm going to hope that Cameron Murray's there, otherwise I'm getting really, really nervous right away. Rabbitohs have been dynamic all season. They have a great home record. I love the inclusions of Tom Burgess and Davey Mowale. They had a game where they both came off the bench earlier this year, and it was exciting to say the very least. So underrated inclusions there for the Bunnies, in my opinion. They have won 5 of their last 7 against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys only have 2 wins from 8 games against top 8 sides this year. So they are struggling with those elite. Keep in mind, Rabbitohs, top 4 side, not top 8. Bunnies have also won their last 5 in a row at home at a Core Stadium. They've loved playing there this year. So my tip for this one, I'm actually going to go Bunnies 13+ and Alex Johnston, anytime try scorer. Don't believe he scored in their last game. He's had a few games this year where he hasn't scored, which surprised me.
No, he didn't, did he? Because the Bunnies actually struggled to score against the Dragons, although they lost 36-30. How many of those tries did they score in the final 4 minutes? And they were all down the right edge, not near Alex Johnston. But Johnston doesn't look so good when there's no Latrell and Cody Walker in the team. At least Cody is back for this one.
That's very true. But for what it's worth, he has 15 tries in his last 10 at a Core Stadium. So that's his ground with his best strike rate as well. But yeah, we'll be head-to-head in that one. It'll be a really interesting game. Final game of the round. We'll be live after this one to recap it all. It's Sunday, 6:15 p.m. We've got the Raiders taking on the Roosters at Allianz Stadium. The line is set at minus. Have I done that wrong?
That no, I think you got right, this one it? Right. The Roosters are home and they are 3.5-point favourites.
Okay, so we're looking at the Roosters at minus 3.5 favourites here. Luke Keary is named, but he's no certainty. Victor Radley returns and their origin reps are named. No changes to Canberra from what we saw last time. I can't believe they're favourites here. I thought for sure it would have been the Raiders, but who are you tipping in this one? This is a really interesting one, isn't it?
Yes, this game has grown in appeal. I think last week with the Roosters, you know, possibly revitalising their own season makes this game all that more interesting. And look, it's been far from impressive for the Roosters, but back-to-back wins over the Bulldogs and Knights where it wasn't pretty, it doesn't matter. There's such valuable competition points picked up after the Roosters were sliding. They'd lost at least three, if not four in a row up until the last couple of rounds. And now the Roosters are equal on points with eighth place, Parramatta. Such is the closest to the competition. In fact, the Roosters are just two competition points behind fourth, who are South Sydney. And while the Raiders had a no-show, as we mentioned, for Croker's 300th game, the Raiders are equal fourth with South, Sharks and New Zealand. Now, when I say equal fourth, that is on points. Unfortunately, the Raiders have got the worst points differential of anyone in the top eight. We've mentioned this before because when they win, they never beat anybody by a big score. But in this game, how much the Raiders could win by doesn't matter in terms of picking the line. It's 3.5. In some places, the line is even 4.5. Which I do agree. You start to really get tempted to take the Raiders here, knowing that Luke Keary might not be a certainty. They thought he was going to be out for weeks, and he was obviously pulled off the field, didn't return. But great news that the scans on that jaw showed the severity is not what it was feared to be. So I have to explain why the Roosters are favourites in this game, because the Green Machine are off a bad loss and off a bye, which should suit them to put in a good effort here. Limited origin disruption for the Raiders as well. So all of that people must be asking, and you're going to tip Raiders for the upset here, and people are going to be asking why aren't the Raiders a best bet. And I guess what just held me off was I do think Radley is so critical to the way the Roosters move, especially in attack, but also tying in to the middle there. I also do believe in teams getting gutsy victories where the odds are against them, and then being able to build on that. You got Teddy needing to back up from Origin, but I feel like being their captain and knowing that he backed up in every must-win game last year, which was a lot of games for the Roosters in the back end of the season, it's even when he needed a break, he didn't take one. So I'm pretty confident, along with Wednesday's man of the match, Collins, I think they're going to do the same. And, you know, you've got Sandon Smith at halfback, but he gets that experience from playing there last week. And Joey Manu, has he maybe recaptured some of that form that helped him win the Golden Boot last year? These are all just reasons, along with Roosters playing at Allianz, to make me believe, yes, the Roosters should be the favourite in this game and I will pick them to win. And that's why I didn't feel strongly enough about necessarily taking the points with the Raiders for a best bet.
I think you outlined that really great there. That does really put things into perspective, because I looked at that right away as I was calling out the stats and I said, did I get that wrong? I thought the Raiders should have been favourites. But no, all really, really great points there. The stats tip here certainly says Roosters, but it is one of those games where I'm going to go against the stats and go with my gut feeling, which says Raiders. I love what Ryan says from YouTube. He said they've been festering on that Croker 300th loss for a while now. And I just think that could be, you know, what really gets them going. So I'm going to go with my gut feeling, going to go Raiders here. However, they have only won 3 out of their 26 visits to Allianz dating back to 1995. That's worse than the Sharks record at Brookvale. 3 out of 26 winning all the way back to 1995. Like, wow. You can't believe it. Ricky Stewart himself has only won once at Allianz Stadium since he left the Roosters as their coach. Of course, that was his home ground. Roosters are 4 out of 5 at Allianz this year, so they're playing really well at home. Now, they do have the worst attacking stats on paper, the Roosters. Absolutely, they do. That's just factual. They average the least points of anyone. But the Raiders have conceded 30 or more points in 4 out of their last 7 games. So there's a greater than 50% chance they are conceding 30 points. So does the worst attacking stats matter so much? Ultimately, I don't think it's the same Roosters side as what we're used to. So although the stats really like the Roosters in that one, my gut feeling says Raiders. So I'm going to back my gut feeling in this one and go Raiders just.
And you know what? It's funny. I've never heard the word festering used in a positive sense, because if a wound is festering, it's getting worse. But I know what you mean. Maybe the word I would opt for there is stewing. On that loss, and you know that they really want to remedy that. And just while I was thinking there as you were talking, because we should wrap up the show, but I forgot to share the mixed matchup,
I was about to say
usually throw at the end of the game that it relates to. But I'm sorry, it slipped my mind there because it was just negotiated late. So I'm typing it up right now, but it is the Dolphins to outscore the Titans. So they're both quite similar magnitude underdogs. You've got the Dolphins at home to the Eels, and you know I've got them as my best bet. And then the Titans are away to the Broncos, and you know I've got a best bet against them. And they're both predicted to score about the same number of points, which is around the 18 and a half mark. And we do lose in the event of a tie, which has happened once this year. So we do get $2.30 about that if you like my play. I'll put it up on screen. You find that on Top Sport as always. You can use a promo code TPLive if you do need a Toppy account. Dolphins to outscore the Titans. After we've lost a couple of mixed matchups in a row, this is the one I'm looking for to get us back in the winner's circle there.
And you know what? Titans have averaged 26 points in our last three Sunday games, but that was a different side with a lot more confidence that didn't know their head coach was about to get sacked.
You haven't played against Brisbane every week either.
Exactly right. And we know Broncos are one of the best defensive sides. And yeah, just going back to my, my notes for that Dolphins game, I do think the Eels will be a little bit complacent in that one. So I think it's a really, really great mixed matchup there, although we did get it at the end of the show. We made our viewers wait for the gold, and that's how she rolls, baby. But that's all we've got time for in this show because Women's State of Origin is literally kicking off in the next minute. So to all our viewers, thank you very much for being with us. Enjoy the Women's Origin right after this, and we'll be with you around 8:30 p.m. on Sunday night to recap all of the NRL action. So thank you very much, guys. We'll see you then.
And I know people have been asking for a Women's Origin tip. I mean, I watched the first game. My instinct says the desperate Blues who are down, who lost the home game last one, might get Queensland back. It's a funny system with the aggregate scoring coming into play. Queensland won the first game by 8, but maybe Queensland just gets Origin a bit more. So that game being up in Townsville, it is basically pick 'em, so hard for me to split. I don't have a confident tip, but I can't wait to go and watch that one. Appreciate everyone joining in. And just one last thing, Clarky, chill.
There you go.
You've got work tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately.